but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Chip Kelly was one game over 500 in his tenure at UCLA. He and Martin Jarmon, the AD there, did not get along. They did not see eye to eye. Chip didn't like Martin. I don't know if Martin liked Chip. There was a disconnect with those two guys. And I think that did play a role in how Chip Kelly exited at UCLA. I remember being in touch with both of those guys around that time. Was not surprised that that sort of soured, given what they were both saying about each other. The replacement for Chip Kelly, DeShawn Foster, did not fare well. He has been relieved of his duties just three games into this season. Here to talk about it, friend of this show, Mark Shipper, Fifth Down College Football, at Fifth Down CFB on Twitter, and a UCLA guy. What do people get wrong about the UCLA narrative, Mark, as they talk about UCLA football?
Well, I think they get it wrong historically in terms of UCLA's place in this sport over a much longer period of time. UCLA is historically a top 15 program in the sport, though if you'd watched them over the last two decades, you wouldn't believe that. You know, I think their all-time AP ranking has slipped to like the 17th most ranked team all time. They were down at around 12 at one point. You know, I think people don't understand how much UCLA cared about football at one point and what a sort of devastating situation this is to most UCLA alumni and fans. And that shows up at the Rose Bowl with it being empty and the perceived lack of enthusiasm. And it's really been institutional mismanagement of the program. And there's an opportunity here now, finally, after a long time, to maybe start reversing some of these things that have tanked UCLA. It's been policies. It's not the school. It's not the program. It's not the potential. It's the school has done it to itself.
Let me ask you, you know, you kind of saw this coming. I saw some of your tweets Friday and into Saturday night, and, you know, it seemed as though you knew that UCLA was making a change. What can you share with us about kind of the thinking that impacted Martin Jarmon and the athletic department's decision?
Yeah, it was the complete and obvious lack of preparation to be on that field and competing against, I mean, forget about peer schools. Utah was a peer school, and they blasted UCLA. But then UCLA got beat by two schools that they really, if times are right and the program's running, they should never lose to. And the home loss against New Mexico, obviously, was probably a bottoming out point for the program that nobody thought they would have hit, a home beatdown by a bottom-dwelling Mountain West school. And they looked so bad doing it. They couldn't tackle. You know, they can't move the ball. They make mistakes. They're penalized all over the place. And when DeShawn Foster came in, you know, his primary platform was his DRE, discipline, respect, enthusiasm. The team had no discipline. So I think the thing was, don't wait to do something later that needs to be done now. And if we make this move now, there's going to be a lot of opportunity to get ducks in a row, pardon the pun, on the out in Oregon out there, and prepare to make a quality offer to the next coach and let them know resources are going to be available to them to compete in the Big Ten. And then being in the Big Ten added a level of urgency to this, because this is no longer hiding out on Pac-12 after dark. You're in the Big Ten. You're going to get a lot of showcase games, and UCLA just can't go out and humiliate itself like that.
The news conference yesterday, Martin Jarmon, you know, did not own it. You know, a lot of ADs will say, hey, this is my decision. He didn't. He said there were a lot of stakeholders. There were a lot of people involved in the decision to extend Chip Kelly and then promote DeShawn Foster to head coach. He did talk about a committee that's going to be formed. I hate this idea. I don't like committees, meetings about meetings about meetings. But sounds like they're looking for a hire that the donors and the stakeholders, Troy Aikman, the Wasserman family, are going to be on board with. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, let's say that Martin Jarmond is exactly accurate in that, and that he's not the one making the decisions, and there are a lot of stakeholders. Well, what that means is you have an athletic director who's not in control of his department, who doesn't command respect, and whose decisions aren't trusted and are not followed through with belief from the people who matter. So if Jarmond wants to do that, I don't know if he thinks that makes it look better for him or what, but it does not. It makes it look even worse. So committees are tough. I agree with you. And particularly the more voices you get in that room, and quality voices, the more difficult it can be to get everybody on the same page. So I would actually say that with this long runway they have to do this, I would not be surprised to find out behind the scenes there's some pushing out of leadership at the top and some bringing in of a much smaller group of people who know what they want to do. I don't think it'll end up being a large committee by the time this choice is made.
I look at Jonathan Smith. I think if the timing were a little different, he might have had that job at UCLA when Deshaun Foster got it. I look at a guy like Will Stein, Oregon offensive coordinator. Am I hunting in the right area, in the right neighborhood?
Yeah, I think so. You know, but here's the thing. I look at a program like Indiana, who hired Kurt Cignetti, and this is not talking about UCLA going for Cignetti. This is using this as an example of an established head coach, like Cignetti said when he was hired, "Look me up, I win." I think right now UCLA probably wants to bring in a proven winner and someone who can assemble a program and a staff quickly, and with the resources he needs, and can start winning overnight. Whether or not this guy might even be later stages in his career, and you're talking about a 10-year run and not a 15 or 20-year run, whatever it is, getting momentum back in the program, winning games on TV, reminding people that it's a winning tradition in Westwood, playing in bigger bowl games, etc., and going from there. The only issue you have with hiring coordinators and people who even below coordinator level, you know, the Dan Lannings of the world are the rarities. It's very rare to bring in a guy like that with his experience level and have him hit the ground running so fast like that. With coordinators and the other guys, it can take them some time to get going, but that's not necessarily the case. There are very talented guys out there who are absolutely ready for their opportunity. So I think they're probably looking established guy first, and then maybe coordinator who's ready to pop next.
We're talking to Mark Shipper, Fifth Down College Football. The narrative that UCLA is just a basketball school and should you know, focus on basketball, and anything they do on football is extra, it flies in the face of kind of the conventional thinking where 80% of your media rights revenue is coming from football and all that stuff. Can UCLA afford to have a mediocre football team?
No. No, it's a losing model, and UCLA had known that forever. It's only been a recent thing where they've really forgotten it, and particularly with the size of their athletic department and the way they want to compete in all sports. You know, as bad as UCLA football is, that UCLA went into the Big Ten last year and won more conference championships than any other school. So they started out doing in the Big Ten what they do everywhere, which is win championships. But the football program leads the charge. So no, it absolutely cannot be mediocre. It's the most forward-facing sport, and it's the massive revenue generator. Even a great basketball program cannot compete with the revenue generated by football. So UCLA needs to reorient towards the classical college system, which, like I said, they understood. They built their school competing in football. That was the priority for UCLA for many years. They knew football came first, and then John Wooden showed up and became a great basketball coach. But UCLA was known as a football school. 17 PCC, Pac-8, Pac-10 championships, Sterling Rose Bowl record, all the NFL players, etc. UCLA has a winning football tradition, and they have just gotten away from it.
Mark, the timing of this Could it wait? Was there a reason why they wanted to go early? Had the boosters just had enough?
You know, I think it was, I was talking about this earlier. I think it was just so obviously what had to happen. There was no reason to let it run a course. And when you do it this early, you give everybody the opportunity to get organized, you know, and that includes Deshaun Foster. The one thing he was doing well is he was a convincing recruiter, and UCLA needs that. UCLA was starting to line up some pretty good recruiting classes. So the recruits needed to know Foster was going to be gone, and a bunch of them are going to decommit. Maybe all of them are going to decommit. And that's something UCLA knows going in. But again, that's part of wiping the slate clean and resetting and making this plan and executing the plan. So I think it's just to give them maximum time to make a good plan going forward. As Jarmon referenced when he was shirking his responsibility for Chip Kelly, I lost my train of thought there.
Well, I also think the Jarmon conversation has to come back to whether or not he keeps his job. I know they're on the hook for, you know, several million dollars to him. Is he the next domino to fall, or do you think UCLA leaves him in place but sort of works around him in some ways?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to work around him for a bit. The thing with Jarmon is one of the reasons there's optimism at UCLA is because they have a new chancellor for the first time, and a chancellor who's made it clear that he understands sports are central to the college experience and that football is central to the athletic department. Between the time that the outgoing chancellor, Gene Block, left and this new chancellor, Julio Frank, came in, UCLA appointed an interim chancellor in Darnell Hunt, and this interim chancellor signed Jarmon to a large extension, and I believe the buyout is in the millions of dollars. It's almost like buying out a coach. So an interim chancellor really overstepped his authority. That contract was left open intentionally for the new chancellor to be able to pick his athletic director, and this interim guy really overstepped his bounds and did that. So I don't know if UCLA wants to look at that contract and see if there's a way to work down the buyout or what it is, but I think Jarmon's probably going to have to be worked around for a little bit. But UCLA needs a new athletic director is the fact of the matter.
The decision makers who are working behind the scenes, I know Troy Aikman has been influential. You also have the Wasserman family. You've got Casey Wasserman and the Wasserman Football Center. And who's making this call?
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't feel comfortable saying, but you know, you're mentioning people, booster bucks talk. So I think part of what's going to happen here is they're going to reach out to boosters and the whales and the middle tier, and they're going to find out what would get them excited. Not necessarily who do you want or specifics, but how do we get people back involved in this program? How do we start? They have to start filling up the Rose Bowl. I mean, just flat out, they have to start selling more tickets there. So, and the easiest answer to that is winning football games. And that's kind of why the established head coach is the good route to go, et cetera. But it's going to come down to winning football games, putting people in the seats, and starting to generate revenue again, because UCLA has a revenue generation issue right now.
Well, Jonathan Smith, an opportunity at Michigan State to go beat USC. Maybe that puts him in play. Mark Shipper, Fifth Down College Football. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate you joining us.
Hi, John. Appreciate you as always.
All right. There he goes from the UCLA perspective. Our big splash is coming up. If I'm UCLA, yes, it's awfully tempting to go with the guy that's going to get a bunch of boosters excited and get people to get money. You want that ideally. But I need somebody who's going to win football games. And I need somebody with proof of performance. So I probably am not going with Will Stein, the Oregon offensive coordinator, because, you know, as much as you're tempted to say, hey, look what Kenny Dillingham did after he left Oregon, Kenny Dillingham had ties to the Phoenix area, to the, you know, Arizona State community. It was like he was coming home. And, you know, so there was a key tie there that would get people excited. Jonathan Smith, Southern California kid. I'm just telling you this, if you're UCLA, if you don't hire Jonathan Smith, someday USC is, and you're going to regret it. Our big splash coming up.